In this episode of the Predators Club podcast, I talk with Kaylee, an undergraduate student at Montana State University studying ecology of Bengal tigers. Thanks for joining me. I'm Riley, and this is the Predators Club podcast that shares the stories of amazing people and projects in wildlife science. Our guest today is Kaylee, who is completing a research project on the evolution, form, function, behavior, and conservation of the Bengal tiger. Welcome to the podcast, Kaylee.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate being on here.
For sure. As being in Montana, we do not have Bengal tigers, so why don't you give our listeners a little background information?
For sure. So Bengal tigers are in the order Carnivora and in the Felidae family. Their scientific name is Panthera tigris tigris, and there's only one species of tigers, with multiple subspecies. The Bengal tiger prefers tropical, evergreen, and temperate forests, as well as mangrove swamps, which can be found in India, Bangladesh, Nepal, and Bhutan. One way this geographic distribution may have come to pass, given the patterns of connectivity over evolutionary time, is that the Palearctic, Afrotropical, and Oriental biogeographic regions were connected, allowing for the species to travel land masses. Having these land masses connected for a longer period of time could be why there is less diversity, as well as why there's only one species of tigers. Speaking of tigers, they are predators, and they prefer to hunt large ungulates like deer, but they will always go for smaller species if available.
So, how does the Bengal tiger actually go for the kill? And are there any adaptations that allow for this?
Yeah, so the Bengal tiger sneaks up on the prey to get as close as possible before going for the kill. A typical move you will see in this species is a stalk from the rear until they get close enough to rush the prey and spring on it. The killing blow will be a bite and then a grasp to the throat. So some adaptations for having this is a large temporalis, forceful jaws, and having carnassial teeth. All these adaptations help give a powerful bite to subdue and eat their prey. Having carnassial teeth and canines allow for them to shear up their meat.
Now, what does this mean for their locomotion?
So, in order to catch these prey species, Bengal tigers have a cursorial mode of locomotion, and they have a digitigrade foot posture. They have adapted to have longer limbs and a longer tail for balance. This gives the tiger options when they are hunting, so they can chase prey, sneak up on them, and jump onto the prey. Common movements they make is running, sprinting, climbing, jumping, and swimming.
What are some behavioral things that tigers do?
Since Bengal tigers live in warmer temperature regions, they have adapted their bodies to help endure warmer temperatures. Some behavioral things tigers will do to cool down is to go in the water, find shade, go into dark, cool areas like a cave, and lie down. When tigers go into the water, evaporative heat loss will occur because the water is wetting their skin and increasing the vapor pressure gradient. Shade spots and caves are cooler areas in direct sunlight, which will help reduce heat which they have absorbed. Overall, tigers will try to avoid being in direct sunlight if possible.
Well, when you think of big cats, you usually think of lion prides. Are tigers social like lions are?
Not at all. They actually prefer solitary. There have been reports of tigers socializing in groups, but this rarely occurs. Tigers will encounter each other, mostly for mating, where the female only mates with one male, but the male will mate with multiple females to increase their reproductive success. Another exception to them being in solitary is when the female tiger has cubs, she will stay to care with them anywhere from 18 to 28 months. Some advantages of this, of them being generally alone, is that it can decrease competition and disease.
Now, how does this impact their communication?
Well, now that you've asked, even though tigers are solitary, they are still communicating with each other, passing on all sorts of information. The most common forms will be chemical and visual signals, like urine spraying and scraping. The urine is mixed with scent gland secretions, and this passes on information like if that individual is a male or female, how recently they have passed through the territory, and even if the female is in heat. Some males will even flatten vegetation from rolling their bodies. Other forms of communication are harder to find because tigers are a hard species to study. There's little information on auditory and tactile communication, but one study did find that females roar to let males know they are in heat, but more research will need to be done. Lastly, tigers and other felids will cheek rub, but the function of this display is still being questioned.
Can you explain more on why they're such a hard species to study?
Yeah, for sure. So normally, tigers are most active during the night, and interestingly enough, due to human activities, they have become nocturnal. Human population growth has resulted with an increase in construction, habitat alteration, and persecution, which has major negative impacts on the species, as well as many others. These creatures historically have been referred to as man-eaters, causing fear and resulting in incentive to hunt them. Tigers range over large areas and have a low population density, making it difficult to observe them, and as they decline, it becomes even more challenging to observe an already elusive species.
You mentioned that tiger populations are declining. How will this affect management strategies?
Habitat fragmentation is a big concern, as the population will get split and isolated, resulting in a loss of genetic diversity. Genetic diversity is important for healthy communities, as it decreases, the population will not be able to adapt to the environmental changes due to the reduction of allele frequencies in the population. This will also make them more susceptible to diseases, which in return will reduce the population even further. It is important to restore habitat so populations are not isolated, as well as increase prey communities, as tiger populations directly relate to prey abundance. Because tigers are endangered and populations are declining, this could affect management by making a shift to prioritize areas with the highest survival potential. This would be areas with unfragmented habitats, as well as areas with abundant prey populations.
Well, this is all very interesting. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you again for having me. It was a pleasure talking to you about Bengal tigers.
Next week, we'll be studying out of time, mayfly.